Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show. You really want to achieve a goal? Get your friends in on it. Get your family in on it so they hold you accountable. It seems like a good idea at the time, right? But if you really want to be held accountable, they're going to hit you like every couple of weeks and pass and just go, hey, how's that diet going? And then the shame if you haven't been doing it, right? Or you can share your success. That's really what motivation by humiliation is for Jackson here. And we've been working on this now for a couple of days because dude is determined now to get back to his old self, which looks like what?
It is time. And my old self is just someone who's a little more active, a little more fit, and looks a little bit thinner in pictures.
That's where you're keeping it 100.
That's where it gets unforgiving right there, man. It really does. These damn iPhones. I used to be a whole bunch better when it was just the Polaroids. Very forgiving, right? All right, so you just want to get back in good shape, and as far as your weight goes, you're looking to take how much weight off?
So the goal is 15 pounds by the end of the year, which we kind of established is one of the more aggressive but healthy goals that we could have set.
Dudes are at an advantage in this area, man. We really are. That you can take a goal like that and you can make it. The water weight's going to come off like that. And we just lose weight quicker than women do, man. It's a blessing. That is for sure.
Uh-huh.
Like Cassie looking at you with daggers.
No, it's not daggers. It's jealousy. Yeah. I'm happy for you. It's like cry on the inside.
All right. So we all went around and we made some suggestions on what this humiliation could be to keep you motivated and to keep you focused to be the best Jackson Kim you can be. Kristen, you came in with what?
Well, I was going to have Cassie read off everything that was listed in the poll because you have the listeners voted to decide what Jackson's going to do to keep him accountable.
Yes. So I will go. Do you guys want me to go from last to highest?
Yes.
Okay. So the first punishment that is out is act out a scene of Devil's Wear Prada where he is Meryl Streep's character. That was Abby's.
Oh, okay. Y'all have no taste.
I think it was too forgiving. Listeners are mean.
They want nudity.
Listen, I was picturing him in a Meryl Streep wig. Trust me, that wouldn't have been forgiving.
The next to last one is dancing in his underwear and his girlfriend films him. That was Mo.
Okay.
That's fair. It wasn't me.
Both of those got under 4% of the votes.
You didn't have to add that.
That's what you do right now.
That would be unnecessary.
Next up,
she just pays a lot of attention to detail,
okay,
though.
That's what
all.
That is?
Okay. I thought people would want to know.
Uh-huh.
Next up is Pose in Tommy's adult baby diaper outfit with 9% of the votes.
Okay, that would have been sweet also.
I like that one.
Right. That's a good one. It's pretty humiliating.
Now for the top three. Third place. Get drawn for a nude art class.
Yeah.
With 14% of the votes.
Wow, to me, that's like the most horrifying thing. And Kristen's already done this.
That's why. We've been there, done that.
God, I don't know how you did that. That would have literally made me throw up before I had to get in there.
I don't know how I did it either, and I still have regrets to this day about doing it. Trust me.
That's one of the few times that your husband has actually been pissed by a bit that we've done on the radio.
Oh, he was big mad.
I bet.
Oh, he was big mad. Because what had happened was the teams that we chose... I stuck with my alma mater, Kentucky, and because this was a college football bet. And
it was whatever team had the best, the worst score or the worst record at the end of the year.
Correct.
That personality who picked that team had to be in that art room. And she went stupidly with loyalty.
I did. And then somebody else on the show chose one of the top teams in the country.
It was like Alabama or something.
It was Alabama. And then you chose, I think, UGA.
No, that was St. Francis that year.
Oh.
Because remember, it went down to the last week.
Oh, was it St. Francis that year? Okay, and you chose St. Francis, which everybody's like, who's St. Francis? But they had the best record in their conference. Like, they were a really good team.
Like a Division III school, with like Roman Catholic school. Nobody had heard of them. But if you're in their conference or that's your division, you know how their dynasty.
Yes, and so you thought, so some people were like, oh, that's fair. No, it still wasn't. And so my husband was so livid that the guys on the show chose teams that they knew would win, and I stuck with my alma mater. He was just, and he wasn't just mad at them. He was also pissed at me.
Yeah, he should have been more mad at you than anything else.
He's like, you could have taken Alabama.
Were you sober?
Yeah.
No way.
My very first pose was the Heisman pose.
Was he really?
And did you have to sit in there with like a sheet like half over you, or was it full on nude?
No, it was full on nude. And I had to do three poses. I did one pose for 5 minutes, another pose for like 15 minutes, and another pose for like 30 minutes. Yeah, I had to sit there for 30 minutes while the art class, because they had to do a quick draw, and then they had, most of the students were kind enough to give me the artwork after when I left the class.
Oh, that was nice.
Did you start improvising and do like down dog and stuff so they get every angle?
No, I did not.
I love your son, honey. It looks like a black hole.
All right, so we're down to the last two
the
here.
Final two. Miss Congeniality in second place happened to be my favorite punishment. Jackson would have to host a sushi class and everyone eat sushi off his naked body, which means number one, first place, the winner, picture of him in his underwear on a jumbotron at a major sporting event.
Bruh. Okay. So.
Bessie's, yours idea won.
Yeah, I know. Yes. And I feel like it is the cruelest. I imagined what I would not want to do, and it was that.
Now, the problem that we're going to have maybe is finding the right stadium with just the right HD screen. That's huge. Okay. An unforgiving jumbotron somewhere in the country we will find. That's pretty damn good motivation.
Yeah. Things just got a lot more real.
Out of all of those punishments, was there one that you were hoping would win? And what's the one that you absolutely did not want?
Well, I don't want to disclose the one that I absolutely don't want because I know that's going to come back to bite me in the ass.
Sushi class it is, Kristen.
So we've established you have no room for error because we're going for, 8 weeks, I think we established it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one is down. What have you done in this week?
Yes, one is down. So meal plan has been going pretty well. And I've actually implemented two-a-days where coming home from work, I'll go do some sort of strength training. And then in the evening when my girlfriend gets off work, we'll go for a run together. So,
Okay. You've been focused.
This motivation
absolutely
here.
Have.
Okay, well, enjoy your lettuce and croutons for the next 7 weeks. Yeah.
No croutons, just lettuce.
I also do two-a-days with Big Macs.
The Burt Show.
All right, so today is follow-up Thursday. Why? Because it's Thursday. And you guys will hit us up with emails and go, hey, Burt Show, whatever happened to blankety blank 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 blank? Can you give us some closure on that? And in this case, it was Johnette Josephs who emailed us and said, hey, Burt Show peeps, last fall you did a shady or not segment where a woman suspected her sister-in-law was trying to make a move on her husband. Can I get a follow-up on that on Thursday? I don't remember that.
Well, what happened was, and this was October of last year, Danielle liked her brother's new girlfriend until she started bringing her husband around. Anytime they hung out, she noticed her brother's girlfriend would try to build an alliance and flirt with her husband. Danielle's husband brushed it off and said she was overacting. But things took a turn when Danielle noticed her husband was receiving text messages from her brother's girlfriend. She kept trying to get him out for lunch alone. We all agreed this was super shady behavior. Kristen even suggested Danielle explain to her husband why she doesn't feel comfortable with him going to lunch. Based on his reaction, she would know everything she needs to know. So we need to know, was Danielle's intuition right or not?
I can't believe it's been over a year since I first emailed you guys about all that. I didn't really have to do much about the situation. Even though he first thought I was overreacting about her, my husband started to see what I was talking about and also started to become annoyed by the attention she tried to give him. So, he and I tried our best to distance ourselves from her. It wasn't easy, nor 100% possible. As for my brother's relationship with her, a few months after my original post, we had a family gathering where her behavior became unmistakably clear to everyone. She made a mean and inappropriate joke about my brother in front of all of us, attempting to rope my husband into it. He didn't play along, which led to an awkward moment. This incident opened up a bigger discussion among the family. My brother, who had been oblivious, started noticing more red flags in their relationship. It wasn't just her dynamic with my husband, but now she treated others too. A few weeks later, he discovered she had been dishonest about several things in her life. They ultimately broke up. He's still single, but he's dating. So, if there are any sweet, moral girls who want to be set up, send them my way. Thanks.
Sweet and moral?
Nah.
That's what I'm asking. Looks like you're on your own there.
One or the other, Hodge.
What do you think, Abby?
Yeah, maybe check out a convent. I'm sure there's a couple of people you could set them up there with. But, I mean, yeah, I'm glad it ended up for the best and they ended up breaking up. I always feel like when something's off in somebody else's relationship, it's so hard because you just kind of want to take control of the situation and be like, how do you not see what we see? So I'm glad that things finally came to light. And I always feel like karma's going to bite people in the butt. It looks like it came for your brother's ex-partner.
Yep.
I agree. I've always stood by karma will come back eventually. And I think it did. I mean, I'm sure it was frustrating the entire time that she was going through it, but Now that you have your answers, all you can really do is put yourself in a position where you don't have to deal with it anymore. And I'm glad it worked out for them all.
I'm just glad he finally saw her for what she was.
For sure.
And I'm glad your husband came around, too, because that was the most infuriating part. And he chose sides wisely, which was his wife's side, to understand that this woman was out of line.
Yeah, sometimes it's very, very, I mean, when your mind is made up, sometimes it is very, very difficult when you're getting input, even from people you respect, to really, really take it. Once you've got a lens on it and you're so sure, it's very, very difficult. All right, Cassie, we got a couple of extra seconds here. You got a holiday hot take already, and here we are, Thursday, November 9th.
I do, and it's about Christmas and Mariah Carey. And the whole thing, defrosting before Thanksgiving, has even caught its breath.
You like things in chronological order.
Normally I do. And I did not enjoy seeing Christmas stuff up before Halloween. I thought that crossed the line. Like, you let the devil's holiday have its day, okay?
and then Jesus can swoop in.
Yes,
Jesus is cool like that. It's like, fine, I don't believe in what you're doing over there, but I love everybody.
Sharing is caring.
So do Halloween.
it doesn't work. But I understand that Thanksgiving gets lumped into the holidays, and especially because it's really just an American tradition, so worldwide, like, people aren't celebrating it. Here's my thing. I have seen so many complaints this year about Christmas coming early, right? And people excited to celebrate Christmas, like not even a mention of Thanksgiving. Can we just enjoy Thanksgiving first and then launch into Christmas? For some reason this year, like, the commentary I've seen on it is on another level. People are mad.
Really? Because that's fascinating. Because in my feed, everybody's gone ham and is doing Christmas early. They've already got their decorations up. They are unapologetic about it. And they're like, this is... And I also read that people who put their Christmas decorations up earlier are happier.
Really? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that plays right into my holiday hot take is let Christmas have the stage. I'm sorry, Thanksgiving, you're going to have to take a back seat. And it's not like we're not going to celebrate Turkey Day on the day, maybe the day after. There's a lot of bad stuff happening in people's personal lives and in the world. If they want to have a little Christmas cheer to forget about the trauma of being alive, let them. Keep your little opinions about, I wonder about Thanksgiving. Nobody cares about Turkey Day. We want fat, jolly Santa now. Okay?
Respectful, man.
So my holiday hot take is, sure, enjoy your Thanksgiving turkey, but shut up when the rest of us are celebrating Christmas early.
You don't agree with it?
Not at all. I love Thanksgiving, man. It's my favorite holiday. I feel like we should defrost the beans, tomatoes lady way before Mariah Carey. It's not fair.
Thanksgiving needs better songs if it wants a whole month to itself. There ain't no songs for Thanksgiving.
We worked on that last year. We have one, Abby, and we will play it again this year.
But Christmas has like 1,500.
Facts.
We got one.
Yeah, we got one. Can we start with one?
The Burt Show. time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
The 2024 Met Gala theme is out, and it looks like it might be throwing a little shade at Kim K. So Kim controversially wore Marilyn Monroe's iconic Happy Birthday, Mr. President gown on the red carpet, and I swear everyone became like Marilyn Monroe internet trolls after this, basically coming after her for wearing a piece of history on the red carpet. It wasn't damaged, but it was definitely not in its original condition when it was returned. I think there were like little tears on the back from when it had been pulled because she got that BBL. And of course, and they didn't have those back in the day. So it wasn't the same shape as Marilyn as it had been and had been preserved.
Can I for 1 second? BBL.
Brazilian butt lift.
Got it.
The high butt.
Gotcha. All
right. So it proved a lot of people's points that it should have been preserved and not worn. So on to the theme. It was announced yesterday that the 2024 Met Gala theme is called Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. Now, Lux Collective on TikTok did such a good job explaining why this is such a dig at Kim, and I just love their accents.
Next year's Met Gala theme has just been announced, and it's low-key a dig to Kim Kardashian.
Oh my God, why?
So, the theme is always based off of whatever exhibit is going on in the Costume Institute.
Yes.
And with their collection of over 30,000 costumes spanning back to the 1600s, they've decided to lean into their history.
Okay.
So they're going to be using brands like Schiaparelli, Givenchy, McQueen, and so many more. So it's structured around 50 historically significant pieces that are way too fragile to ever be worn again. So unlike Kim squeezing into Marilyn's dress, these pieces are going to be brought to life using light, sound, AI, and CGI.
Wow!
Then they're going to combine that with contemporary pieces that have an emphasis on sustainability. And the name of the exhibition is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion.
Oh, that's so cute!
Yeah, so the theme will be taken from that.
They did a really good job explaining, because a lot of people were like, so many people are going to be dressing up as Sleeping Beauty because they totally missed the memo on what it's actually about. But yeah, that's 100% a dig. Like there's some fashion that should never be worn again in order to preserve it.
Yeah. And I get what Kim was trying to do by wearing it, because I think there's a lot of parallels to what she did for beauty standards today in the same way like that Marilyn Monroe did back in the day in terms of like embracing being a curvy, sensual woman. And so I think Kim's team thought that they were really doing something when they brought out the dress for her to wear it. Like, look, it's like history repeating itself. But I think honestly, it did more damage literally than good. So
what other fashion icons from different decades should never be worn again?
I would say
in a fun way. Like one of those snap watches. Little snap bracelets that we used to have.
Oh.
Those should never come back again. What else?
So you're not talking about, because I was about to go, like, you said in a fun way. So yeah. Fashion that should never come back.
Like trends, yeah, that should never, ever come back.
I'm over the turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks.
What? No, Dickies.
You know what the dickie is?
Oh, yeah, yes.
What is a dickie?
A dickie is like a faux turtleneck. So it's like you have a turtleneck, but it stops right here because like you get too hot underneath your sweater. So it doesn't have arms and it's not full body. So you look, I had a dickie growing up.
Did you?
Yes. And so because I ran hot, I sweated like a mad woman. So I had a freaking dickie to put underneath sweaters.
There had to be like a hairstyle for women that should never come back again for you guys, or some kind of clothes, shoes.
Well, I would say mullet, but mullets came back, man.
Yeah, they did.
Uh-huh.
Uggs are still hot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're kind of, I don't know if I would call Uggs camp, but I don't see anybody wearing Uggs as like a fashion statement. It's more of like comfort or like throwback to the early 2000s. Like you wear it with a low-rise mini skirt and then maybe like a polo with the collar pops and puka shells.
I'd be okay with statement necklaces. You know, like the multi-layer big jeweled statement necklaces you wore in the early 2000s over your layered lace shirt and then the t-shirt over it with the jean skirt and the big old belt buckle.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that whole outfit.
Okay.
Do you remember those bubble necklaces? The ones that like went straight down to your belly button? Like the ones that they're like bright red, bright pink, and they're like... I'll pull up a photo later.
Abby, you don't get to play this game.
No, I feel like that's a statement.
15 years ago.
Like, she's 9 years old. She's talking about trends that were 2 years ago.
Exactly. You guys remember?
Well, do you know what a fanny pack is?
Yes. We're keeping those because they are useful as hell.
Agreed.
I did to say.
Fanny packs are bad.
They are.
100% agree on that.
Every time I go out and about, like if we're going on a hike or something, everyone I know has that chic Lululemon one, but instead of wearing it around the waist, we've evolved.
Yep.
and we decided to wear it across the chest so we looked more like we're on a safari rather than we're like your dad at Disney World.
Don't say we. I wear it around my waist. I got too much going on the chest. There's no room.
It was the longest actor strike to date, and it's finally over. Or is it? I'll tell you about the tentative deal they've got going on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I think at any point of the school year, you could open up The Burt Show's vet line for teachers, for students, for administration, for parents. At the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, at the middle of the year, I think the vents are plentiful. And when I had my husband on recently to do a carpool vent, because here we are months into the school year and there's still issues in the carpool lane, I think I struck a nerve with some people and they have some vents of their own that they would like to get off their chest. So in case you missed it, this was my husband getting off his chest, his issues with our school's carpool lane. Mind you, my son is two.
This system that they have to drop off kids at Jimmy's preschool, there's station 1, 2, and 3. You pull up into a spot, you unload your kids, and you keep it moving. This is this lady's first offense. They're unloading their kids. They're in spot 2 and 3. I'm waiting for them to pull out. They're taking their sweet M time. Drop off line is not a social circle. It's not time to chit chat. As I'm unloading Jimmy, these two ladies are still just hanging out talking. So now they're getting the death stare. I get my truck and I look at my front windshield and guess what they're doing now? They're pulling shoes out of the back seat, showing each other their shoes. I'm like, I'm not going to honk. I'm not going to honk. I'm not going to honk. I just ease past. As I'm going around, one of the ladies finally goes around her car and she's saying something. My side window's open. I don't know what she's saying. I just merely yell, sure.
So I get an email from Callan. I heard Bart's segment. And you can have a regular segment of carpool vents and complaints. Trust me, every parent with school-age children has stories about clueless or inconsiderate parents in the carpool lane. It's absurd, and it really isn't that hard. So what we've done is to get us to this Thanksgiving break, right? Because I know some teachers are counting down. Parents probably not counting down because they don't want their kids at home. But we're going to do like a little, I'm a parent now, I get it. We're going to do a little school vent line, okay? So 404-954-1360. We're going to share this on all the Burt Show socials.
Is this carpool specifically or school? Anything in school.
I want to keep it open. If you have carpool vents, by all means. If teachers, you have vents, by all means. Parents, students, I just want to make it a generic school vent line so people can get stuff off their chest. I know we're all stressed because we're in the throes of holiday season now.
Yeah.
And so like let it out on the vent line instead of on each other and at school.
Yeah, my first one would be like my kid goes to a Catholic school and he gets busted all the time because his hair's like too far down the collar line, right? So he's coming home with like these little, he gets pegged for that. It's school. So I said, you go back in there and you tell the principal Jesus had long hair. Like you guys would be like pinging Jesus.
Jesus had some beautiful tresses.
If he had a collared shirt on, if he was rocking a collared shirt, Jesus' hair would be too long. It'd be a violation.
Here's my school vent. Stop asking me to do stuff. I'm not cooking for Thanksgiving dinner at the school. I'm already cooking my own Thanksgiving dinner. If y'all want to do it, that's on you. Stop asking me to show up for trunk or treat. I got my own stuff going on. We're already doing this at home. I appreciate you trying to expose my kid to the world. I don't want to be a part of it.
Okay, so those are the kind of events that we're looking for right there. And let's give you the number again. It's 404-954-1360 because you don't want to anger other parents. You don't want to anger the administration. You can't say to your students' parents what you really want to say, right?
So just say it on our vent line.
Say it here. 404-954-1360.
Oh, and you can cuss because we can beep it out. And we also use the voice disguiser so nobody's going to know who you are.
Yeah, that's the fun part. All right, look, it's an important job. It's a very important job. There you are out in the town. Maybe both of you guys are single and one of you lands a big fish, okay? The great looking guy at the bar or the hottie at the bar. And you're with somebody that just hasn't had the same amount of luck. Your roles change at this point. Now you're the point guard, okay? You are the wingman or the wingwoman, and it is your job to make sure your friend, your priority number one, is having a great time that night, gets a number, hooks up, whatever. But a lot of you guys, including Mo and Katie here, who have screwed it up over the last couple of weeks.
You're butchering this assignment.
Have decided to put a list of instructions together to be a good wing man and a wing woman.
As a fact, it is vital. It's very important to be a good wing person. We talk about how difficult it is to date and how difficult it is to find a potential partner. And you can blow it as a wing woman or a wing man for your friend. So I think it's important that we make sure that everybody who is ever a wing man or a wing woman understands the assignment.
So you've come up with a wing manual.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. A wing manual.
I like that.
Wing manual.
I like that.
You can go home.
Just go.
It's not going to get any better than this. Get out of here.
That's getting windy.
I didn't get it. I was like, that seems real obvious, no?
I would say that quite honestly and pathetically, I had to be a great wing man. Look, my area of attraction was not going to be in bars, right? Okay, I'm a 5'4" guy now. Back in the day, I wasn't. That's just, look. The bars are for hotties, and I was never a hottie. So generally speaking, like, my friends were going to hook up, and more often than not, I was the wingman. So I feel like I can dig into this list.
Okay, so let's do it.
All right.
Katie, I'm going to go first. We can rattle off together.
Okay.
I feel like the number one rule for being a wingman or a wingwoman is simple. Never steal your partner's thunder or your partner's potential partner.
For sure.
I'm off to get you. Cannot do it.
Survey says bang.
All right. Agreed. Okay.
You should also practice scenarios beforehand.
like drills?
Wait, yes.
You got wing practice?
Yes. I do this with my girls. We have a little practice scenario. I'm like, all right, so we see a dude. All right, what are you going to do? And if he comes up to you, says, you know, hey, this or hey, that, we practice scenarios and responses.
It's a coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
So give us an example of what this might sound like.
So, all right. So basically, I'll tell like my best friend, I'm like, look.
You're with Kristen. Yeah. Kristen is single and you guys are about to head out.
Golly gee, I'm so excited to go out tonight. I really hope I find a man.
Wow. You're going to have to be hitched.
Because that one is... Woo! All right. Okay. All right. So
this is so neat.
Whoa. All right. So what we're going to do is tone down our excitement.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, okay.
We're going to play it cool.
Cool. How do you play it cool?
Here, take this, Annie.
It's all about the tone of the voice.
Okay, so what's my tone?
It's not tone. It's tone. Think.
Tone.
Think, like, you know, hey, how you doing? How's it going? Chill, vibe. You like him, but you don't really like him. But if he approaches you, right, you don't want to act too eager. Mm-hmm. If you think that he's cute, hey, you want to play it cool. Yeah. He asks about your drink, like, I don't know about that.
But I'm white.
Okay.
All right.
Now, this is definitely hard. I'm not
hitched.
I don't know if I'm Coach Kristen.
Kristen, you gotta represent. I've never been in this position.
That's a tough assignment.
That's
right?
That's a
very tough one.
Maybe the two of you guys should just
that's
stay home.
That's not it. Yeah, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, that plane ain't got no wings.
No. But I'll just basically tell my friend not to be too eager if a guy approaches you or anything like that, right?
Okay.
If he asks for a drink, if asked to buy you a drink, you can mention how common that is. Like, what's your end game here? You know what I'm saying? Like, a drink is too easy. All right.
That's what do you want to do? Give you his watch?
No. Conversation. It's just so easy for someone. Hey, can I buy you a drink? Well, not everybody's trying to buy me a drink in here. What's
the better
follow-up?
Pickup line? Hey, do you want my left shoe?
See, not everybody will give you the left shoe.
Hey.
See?
But a coaching session. Practice some scenarios or something like that with your friends.
Yeah, I got signals too, like from the dugout and baseball for the pitcher.
Well, yeah, that's also on my list. Hand signals.
Okay.
You always have.
Okay.
Yes, you have to have hand signals of when to come and intercept and when to leave that person alone.
That's important. That's very important. I also think it's important to not oversell your partner. I feel like a lot of people make that mistake. You want to make your partner look good, but it becomes pretty obvious when you're overselling them and doing a little too much.
Like what? Like, oh, this guy volunteers all the time on weekends, and oh, he loves puppies.
Exactly that.
Okay.
It's like, that's not even necessary for the initial meeting of conversation to say all of the charities and all the things he's doing, because it comes off as you're doing too much.
It's really, a good wingman is there really just to take pressure off of the dude or the woman and do it in a group setting where she or he doesn't even know what's happening to them.
Mm-hmm. That's also on my list. Since you said that, I'll get that out the way right now, too. You never make them feel as if your partner sent you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You always go with the approach that you're doing this and your partner doesn't even know you're there.
That's how I screwed up that time with you at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It happened.
Kristen got
that's
up.
That's why we're here.
We were all having a group dinner, and Kristen saw a table of full-on hotties across the restaurant and decided one of them was going to marry Mo and walked over to the table and made a move for a grown-ass man.
Yep, that happened.
It sounded like this. Gee, golly, gosh, you're real pretty. I'd love to stand in your wedding. Will you marry my friend over there? She was stunning.
What were you going to say, Abby?
Oh, I'm just saying I've been in this situation as a woman where I'm standing there at a bar with my friend and some dude will come up and then he's almost like the sales guy for his friend where he's like, my dude is such a stud. All the ladies love him. And in my mind, the only thing I'm thinking while you're selling this dude is, well, if he was really this hot, you wouldn't need to sell him this hard.
Bingo.
And then you come over and it's very obvious what's going on. And it makes the whole situation feel very unorganic.
You are just the bridge between the chemistry between the two that you're trying to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're the opener. Don't be the main event. You're just the opener. Just warm it up for him.
Exactly. But also, don't be afraid to intercept and take the fuddly friend. If you know that your friend is having a good vibe with someone, you can't be afraid to take the other person out of that scenario and let those two have their own conversation, even if you don't like that person.
Can I tell you how extreme this got for me? And this is such a bad story, such a pathetic story. So I'm in Hawaii with my dude, John, and we meet two girls that are from Oregon. We're from California. We meet two girls that are from Oregon. He ends up linking up with the hottie in the group, and I got the not hottie. But she wouldn't go out with my dude, John, unless all four of us were going out. So we end up hanging out, and then I end up hooking up with the other friend, really more to be a good wingman. I wasn't attracted to her at all. And then when we got back to California, his girl wanted to fly into town, but would only come if the fugly friend was there. So I had to spend the whole weekend with her, man. The whole weekend. It was so bad. It was so bad. I couldn't do it. Like on Friday night, she came in. We hung out for a couple of hours and she annoyed me so much that I just left the apartment.
Wow.
I had to leave. I couldn't take it anymore.
Now, that's supposed to be like a one-time thing. You're not supposed to have to do that all season long.
That was too much.
It's one game.
That was next level.
Yes, sir.
And also, at the end of the night, you have to know when to back off. So say they didn't have a friend. It was just a one-on-one, and you just happened to be like the third wheel. You have to know that, okay, this is good. It's time for me just to leave into the shadows.
Yes, and you don't announce it.
Nope.
Right.
Yeah.
You just fade away.
You know when to leave. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, even if they did, you never make your partner feel like they blew it. If it doesn't go well, you always make it seem like it was the other person's fault so that your partner doesn't lose confidence. That's a part of being a good wing person.
I was never good at that. I'm going to give you tremendous amount of crap if you can't close.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way.
I'm invested. It's the Burt Show.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
This is a real shocking revelation for one 17-year-old who has gone on a TikTok, and it's such shocking revelation that it's gone viral. Her observations are going viral because she realizes that the more time she spends on social media, the more depressed she gets. Wow.
Who would have thought?
Right? Here she is. This is the one that's going viral. Because she downloaded like this new app. I think it's called Opal. And it charts how much time you're spending on social media. And I guess if you're not charting it, you don't realize like half your freaking day is spent online, man. And that's what they're designed to do, right?
I would just lay in the same position for like easily 6 hours, 7 hours straight. And afterwards, I just felt like such a zombie. They gave me the statistic that I was on track to spend 17 years of my life on my phone by the time I turned like 60 or 70. And that was my biggest wake-up call.
You think? It's almost a fourth of your life online. How long, when you guys get into one of those rabbit holes, how long can you spend online just scrolling before you look at the clock and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it's been blank.
Mm. I spend so long that TikTok sends a video and says, hey,
You've been scrolling for a really long time. Do you want to stop?
There are those?
Yep.
Come on.
Usually hits after about 2 hours.
Oh, that's nothing. 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I haven't. So my scrolling, and I think a lot of moms can relate to this, and it doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, like you spend all your day dedicated to other people, and then once you put the kid to bed, you just want some time to yourself. So you will sit there and you will lay in bed and you will scroll and scroll and scroll. And then before I know it, I'm like, how is it already 9:30?
Right.
Like, well, and obviously 9:30 is late for us because of when we have to get up. And I'm just like, where did the time go? It's a time suck.
It's so hard to continue to tell yourself, like, you're being manipulated. Like, they're keeping you online for a reason. These algorithms are so sophisticated. They know what they're doing, right? And they're manipulating us. And when you're young, it's very, very difficult to have that kind of discipline. Here she says, social media only drained her time. It affected her self-worth.
When someone has 100 million, millions of followers, and they look a certain way, act a certain way, and are this standard of beauty almost, I just immediately interpret that as the reason I don't have those things is because I'm not good enough and I'm not pretty enough.
I mean, it's things we talk about every day, right? What was the name of that show that was on Netflix that exposed the algorithms?
Social Network.
Was it The Social?
I think so. Was that the name of it?
I think so.
Not the Zuckerberg one.
Oh, that was the one that changed it for me. I'm not sure.
It was a documentary. Yeah. We were talking about it for weeks. Dang it.
I know. Keep talking because I know you have another clip to play.
And it really makes you realize like how manipulated you are. Like the people that design the algorithm are telling you like, I feel like crap because I know that I...
The social dilemma.
There you go.
I know that I created something that's manipulating your kids. Here she is saying that she's really happy to be free as she's cutting back her time on it.
When I'm not constantly scrolling through social media, I feel like there's just like... a huge weight off my shoulders.
I think you kind of felt this with the dating apps.
Yeah, I mean, you're spending so much time in a world that's not real, mingling, if you will, with people that you don't know, and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It's a highlight reel, and that's such a cliche to say that because in the age of social media, so many people have come out and been like, this is just my highlight reel. This is not really what's going on. But when you're that young, you don't have the life experience and the context to understand that that's not just something people are saying on social media. It really is the truth.
I really want to give her due credit to be 17 and this self-aware.
That's true. That's really
impressive.
I know what helped me after watching The Social Dilemma. I never really had a problem with the scroll part of it because I don't scroll for long at all, but I check my phone constantly. That's what gets me.
I leave
constantly picking it up every time I see a notification. So I leave my phone in a different room now for like hours. I won't even be next to it.
I think we're at a time now, and this is not just a teen thing. We don't know how to be bored anymore.
No.
I'm totally and completely guilty of this, man. Like, for the 4 weeks that I really tried to put my phone away, you know, like sitting in the lobby of a doctor's office or whatever and not having my phone in my hand and just staring forward felt so odd. We just aren't used to that anymore.
For me, the hardest part is feeling disconnected from references that people will have. Like TikTok for me is one of the hardest things to let go because if I stay off TikTok for a week and then I'm out like with my friends, they'll say something or they'll reference something they'll see on TikTok and I'll be like, oh, I didn't see that. And you feel really out of the loop and it's weird because social media will keep you so disconnected from people. But at the same time, if you're not on social media, you're missing out on everything that people are talking about. So it's this weird cycle that's so hard to get out of.
It is a vicious circle, and like I said before, they know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That For You page is eerie, isn't it? How well it knows you.
Yes.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's get to Asia here because she's wondering if this is an offense to where she should ditch this guy or continue to date. Can you give someone a second chance when they had already decided that you are not worth dating? Hey, Asia, good morning.
Morning. Hi.
Hi. Okay. Tell us what we got here.
Yeah. So I went out with a guy like a year ago. I thought we had a really good time, but I guess I like misread the situation because he didn't ask me out a second time, but I was like kind of feeling him and I was like in a good place. So I was like, I'm just going to ask him out myself. And I was not expecting him to say no. But he did. He said he didn't think we were a good fit. And then he didn't really give me any more information. Like, he didn't elaborate at all. So I didn't really pick up on the fact that, like, he wasn't enjoying our date. It seemed like we were having a good time. So, like, now I just, like, don't really know if, like, I can trust my instincts or whatever. But, like, fast forward to, like, a year later, and he just suddenly started texting me out of nowhere. He asked if I wanted to go out on Saturday night. And I said yes, but now I'm wondering if I should have said no instead, because, like, I don't know. Like, if he didn't like me the first time, why would something have changed? Like, I'm the same. I don't know. Should I ditch him or date him?
Well, it's because he's more desperate now.
More than likely. That's what
he's
it is.
He's been out there and it's like, things aren't going so well. Maybe I'll give Asia a call. Isn't this called submarining? Where you go away for a while and then all of a sudden he comes back up and he's like, hey, how you been? But it's been like a year and now he wants to ask you out.
Yeah, I feel like if I wasn't good enough for you then, I'm not good enough for you now.
I don't know.
I've always had that mentality.
If I'm being honest, I feel like when this happens, more than likely with a man, it's either because he thought he had a better option and it didn't work out, or because he's hit such a slump that he'll go back to whomever he believes will say yes.
Don't be a man slump buster.
Yes, don't do that. That is not where you want to be.
So if he had said something different when she asked him, like, they went out on their first date, and he kind of, like, he didn't ask her out, and she did, and he goes, I don't think we were a good fit. If he had some other excuse, like, you know, I'm not in a place right now to be in a relationship, anything like that. He said the two of you were not a good fit. Mm-hmm. And it's only been a year. It's not like we're talking about you guys have had, like, these, you know, massive changes from, like, you know, 19 to 32. So, yeah, if we weren't a good fit then, we ain't a good fit now.
Yeah, this guy didn't ask you out because he wants to go on another date with you. He asked you out to go out on Saturday night. And what I'm hearing from that situation is that he's asking you to go out on a primetime weekend spot. He's not asking you to go out on a date. He's asking you to go out, which means he thinks that you're going to be a slam dunk in a different department. And I think you got to ditch this guy because I think he's just going to use you and then never talk to you again.
All right, I'm going to take a different slant on this. I'm going to try to be the positive one here. Okay.
Good luck.
Take your shot.
All right. A lot of people can change in a year. And yes, maybe he didn't think you guys were such a great fit. So now he's been dating for a year and he realizes, looking back, like, dang, Asia was really, really cool. And he's giving you a shot on prime time. Like Abby said, like, if he wasn't really into it, it would be a Wednesday afternoon lunch date. This is prime damn time right here. So I think this could be a second part to this, because I think Kristen is right also. I think your next text to him is, well, if I wasn't a good fit a year ago, why am I a good fit now? And then based on that answer, is you having plans on Saturday night or not?
Is it weird to send that text, though? Now, because, like, I've already said yes, so I don't want to, like...
Oh, you already said
yes.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah. I think you can go, just wondering, before we go out Saturday night, why is the timing right now?
I see nothing wrong with that at all. Because I think that answer does tell you everything.
Okay, that's actually really helpful. I was, like, really stressing this, but I'm feeling a little better now.
How would you handle that? Abby is very skeptical.
I wouldn't have said yes to this in the first place. No. To me, this is very clear that this guy is just hitting you up because he's been in a dry spell for a hot second, and he's looking for an easy yes for something else. To me, this sounds like a booty call. It doesn't sound like he's asking you to go out at all. My opinion from my experience.
Did you give up the booty the first time you guys went out?
No, which is, like, part of the thing, maybe. Like, I don't know if that was part of the reason he was like, I don't think we're a good fit, but I don't know. I'm definitely not going to give it up this time, like, ditch, just off ditch, the bat.
Ditch,
so.
Ditch, 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 ditch.
I say hit him with the question first before you make a final decision.
I say hit him with the question, okay. And he has to move you with his answer. And if he doesn't, then ditch him.
Okay.
All right, Asia, will you hit us tomorrow? Will you let us know what he says?
Yeah, I will.
And then we'll all make the decision for you based on his answer. You have nothing to do with this anymore.
We got it from here.
All right, Asia, we'll talk to you tomorrow or send us an email, whatever.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The longest actor's strike in history is finally coming to an end. Maybe. So they were on strike for 118 days. And the union's negotiating committee, they finally voted to unanimously approve a tentative deal. And it's going to go to the SAG-AFTRA National Board on Friday. And then after this, the union members will ratify the agreement. That could take weeks. So as long as everything goes to plan, the strike is going to finally be over. And we can go back to talking about movies and actors again and not feel guilty about it. Which is great. Mm-hmm.
I never felt guilty about it.
I feel a little guilty about it. Not gonna lie.
Not once. I didn't spend any time at all on it.
I thought it's more so than anything. So this past Halloween, when SAG-AFTRA told their members, okay, you can't dress up as characters from movies and whatnot, and Megan Fox was like, screw you, we're gonna do three different costumes from three different movies. It's stuff like that that I'm ready to
Just move aside.
Yes.
It wasn't for the big time actors, and we've said this before, mm-hmm. that this strike was really all about. It was the actors and actresses that you haven't heard of. It's like for our friend Frankie, who mm-hmm. works on the sets of movies and TV shows that were being affected by it also, that aren't making $1 billion a year.
And I think people don't realize a majority of actors are struggling. They're working paycheck to paycheck and have other jobs. It's like the George Clooney's and the Denzel Washington's, and that's the smaller percentage of the actor community.
It was their responsibility to really stand up and stick up for all of those people that are working at Chili's right now in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. that are going to be actors and actresses. And I don't know how the community feels about it, but I don't know that they stepped up enough in this whole thing.
Mm. A few of them did. I remember a list of maybe only 10 to 12 people who donated millions of dollars in order to help. But outside of that, I didn't hear anybody helping.
Yeah, it was George Clooney and a couple other actors who were like, we will literally pay more to end this strike because they understand what a privileged position they're in. I'm just feeling bad for the Ryan Goslings, who could have won Sexiest Man of the Year. This is for people and had to turn it down because of SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, that's the real travesty for sure.
It's really a tragedy. How will Ryan Gosling go on? So there's no words on the exact details of the deal, but the producers say it will give union members, quote, the largest increase in minimum wages in 40 years, a brand new plan for residuals, for streaming programs, extensive consent and compensation protections with AI, and also sizable contract increases on items across the board. So
there we go.
We love that for them. Okay. Yay. Okay, someone who went to college with Lady Gaga says she was super annoying, which is really shocking news. A woman who wore a meat dress was annoying in college, right? So as a big Bachelor fan, when I saw that Carly Woodell was talking about this, I was like, Carly, I haven't heard about her since she was on Bachelor in Paradise 5 years ago. Carly Woodell was on The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. She was married to another cast member named Evan Bass. He was the ED guy. And then they recently got divorced, but they have one kid together. Anyway.
The ED guy?
Erectile dysfunction.
And how did he get that label?
He has an ED clinic or something. He helps men.
I think
get
he,
it up.
Did he approve of that nickname? does it run by him?
Some label. You know how they have those chyrons or the lower thirds for the Bachelor titles when they're like, oh, what's their job? It was Evan Bass and then ED guy or whatever.
I think it probably said owner of a company that specializes in ED.
Because
you don't, as a guy, you don't want to be known as the, it's not like the furniture guy.
The Bachelor does try to roast them with those lower thirds. They really do. So honestly, ED guy might be a little tame.
Because wasn't there a chicken guy?
Yeah.
Chicken guy.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine being called the chicken guy. I do not want to be the ED guy.
You're helping men across the country with their ED. You should be proud.
Okay, then my name is Helping Guys with ED Guy.
I think he made a lot of money off of it, too. So even though, ED Guy isn't the greatest of title, he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Maybe his name is just Ed.
It's Evan. So Carly Woodell was married to ED Guy. So now she's the ex-wife of ED Guy. And she was on another former Bachelor contestant's podcast, Jason Tardik's podcast called Trading Secrets. And she said Lady Gaga was so annoying because even when they were in school together, they both went to Tisch at NYU. She would be on the piano during lunch singing and playing at the top of her lungs.
You were in class with Lady Gaga?
Yes, but then she was Stephanie. I was not a fan. During lunch, she would play on the piano. There's a piano because you would eat just in a dance studio.
Yeah.
And she would sit at the piano every single day and just play and sing Wicked
at the top of our lungs every day.
Okay.
And we were all just trying to eat lunch.
It's like break time.
And we were all like forced to listen to her. And yes, was she good? Of course. She was great. But yeah. I just wanted to eat my sandwich. And so I used to just eat in the hallway.
Did everyone? Because
she was driving me crazy. I mean, she was one of the good ones. I wouldn't ever be like, she was so above. But now she's so above.
Yeah, so it's glad. I'm glad to know that drama kids were annoying then and still annoying now. All right, fans are concerned about Wynonna Judd after it looked like she was having a hard time walking at the CMAs. We'll talk about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Turns out the gateway drug for alcohol is Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, any kind of soft drink.
I'm glad you led with Coke, and I was hoping you were going to stop it.
That's where my mind went, too. Yeah.
So I'm reading this, this survey, and 2,000 kids aged between 9 and 10 surveyed how often they drank Coke and Pepsi and Dr. Pepper, in addition to being more likely to try alcohol when they got older than if they didn't have those drinks at all. That sounds like a strange connection to me, man.
So we drank pop as kids.
Pop? Is that what you called it in Kentucky, pop?
So we grew up in Kentucky, so it was Pepsi. I know we are living in Coke territory now.
What did you? Delete? No, she didn't say that.
We were a Pepsi family.
Uh-huh. It's so bad for you.
And so, yeah, we definitely had pop growing up. At the dinner table, and that was a normal in our diet. As far as that leading to alcohol, I don't see the correlation. And now as an adult, so I haven't had soda in 3 years. I gave it up when I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And have managed not to do it. Don't get me wrong. Every now and then I will look at a Diet Coke and be like, I can feel the effervescence on my upper lip. But I'm actually really proud of myself that I just gave up caffeine and haven't looked back on sodas since then. But I still drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's like a... I'm trying to understand the science behind it.
Well, soda shops are really a big deal in places like Utah where they don't drink because of the religion there. So I don't see the correlation at all because they sure as hell ain't drinking and they're consuming soda like no other.
I think this could be one of those backwards things because one of the stats from it are children who frequently drink soda show higher impulsivity and poorer working memory, which are known risk factors for substance use disorders. So it may be more like if you're drinking that much soda, it's an indicator that your brain is primed for substance abuse. Does that make sense? So it's not the soda that's causing the alcohol.
It's the impulse. Oh,
okay. That's the kind of person that are. So you're already headed that way.
So we have to take a step even further back than the soda.
I mean, there's so much you got to look at, like their childhood homes, like the family, how they grow up, how they're taught nutrition. Like, I hate studies like this because then people are going to be like, don't give your kids Coca-Cola. It's going to make them alcoholics. And there's so many more factors than that.
That'll be the extreme on it for sure.
And Coca-Cola, who is our headquartered here, really appreciate your message right now.
I love Coca-Cola.
I like it.
It's delicious.
I like it, and I like it in my drinks.
Big fan. A little rum to it. Woo! Yes.
All right, let's get Jan some help here, man. We probably have all been here before where you start dating somebody and things are going great, but then you're wondering, like, I wonder if my psycho ex is going to try to blow this whole thing up. Hey, Jan.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Okay, what do we got going on here with the ex and the current, and how is this guy going to try to mess everything up?
Okay, let me provide a little background information first. So, dated my ex for approximately 4 years, broke up about 2 years ago. During the time we were together, we acquired, he purchased them, but they were our cats, very bougie cats. They were expensive. When we ended up breaking up, we tried to, like, make things work for a little bit, and then I decided I was going to move about 6 months afterwards across the country. So did that. Upon the move, I bought the cats off of him. He made me sign, like, this elaborate contract of, like, stipulations to agree to in order to keep these cats in addition to the payment. So that was a little bit crazy, but did it, whatever, love the cats. But I had, like, here and there, like, communication with him since then. because, you know, he's not an ideal human, but like the attention. And when you're in a new city, it's difficult to meet people off the bat.
Sure.
So eventually he started getting real nasty with me. So I cut him off this summer and like blocked him on everything. I've been dating somebody new for approximately like 4 months, made things official about a month ago. And then here's where the issue comes in. Get an email, because again, I blocked him on everything, but didn't think to block him on email. Max sends me an email and says that he's coming into town to meet with his best friend. His best friend lives in the city I live in, and that he is demanding to see the cats. And if I do not let him see the cats, he will just show up to my apartment unannounced. So where the issue lies is, do I give in to his request and set up a time for him to meet the cats? Or do I just take the risk he's going to show up at my door and kind of like blow things up? Because I don't want to set a bad precedent into my relationship going forward by lying. But I also don't want to expose all of this baggage as well and set a bad tone in that way, because it's so early on. That's a brief summary of it all.
You did a good job. How early on in this relationship is it?
We've been seeing each other since the end of July, but things were made official like about a month ago.
Okay, so it's fresh. I don't know. I think you should be honest with the dude and tell him about your psycho ex and tell him exactly what's on the table, just like you told us.
You're afraid it's going to scare him away?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's tough because, it kind of depends on the guy and knowing him. Like, I'm the kind of guy that wouldn't bother me at all. Wouldn't think twice about it. But I do know a lot of guys who, if they're not completely invested yet and you give them that, they would probably run for the hills.
Yeah, so I dated a guy and his psycho ex showed up at the door when I was at his apartment, and she was banging on windows, she was banging on doors, and I had to hide out in the apartment until she left. And needless to say, wasn't a fan of that kind of drama. And I wish he would have given me a heads up, because we were just there and I was like ill prepared. So if there is a fear of your ex showing up and doing something like that, I feel like you need to give him a heads up.
Jan, I actually think most guys in this situation wouldn't be weirded out by it. This is just my opinion, but feel free to step in. They would get protective in this situation. So I almost feel like it might even end up working out in your favor. You don't need to paint yourself as some victim, but if you explain that you dated this guy who was totally cuckoo bananas and that he might be showing up to your apartment like crazy, he might be like, you know what, it's time for me to step up as a man, and it might make him feel, you know, kind of like a man around you.
And you might even do what you did with us and be like, hey, so my ex reached out and he wants to see the cats, and explain to him the situation and be like, you know, ask for his advice and see what he thinks you should do.
One of the scariest nights of my life was the psycho ex showed up at the apartment of the girl that I was seeing. The psycho ex was an MMA fighter. So he knocks on the door and she demands I go into the bathroom and not come out. Because she knew I was going to get pummeled.
That's the worst.
Yeah. So there I am, just cowering. Yep. Just cowering in there waiting for this the confrontation to end.
How long were you in the bathroom?
4 days.
She's sliding you food under the door.
Even when he left, I'm like, I'm not coming out.
You're showing it out.
All right, so final advice here.
I would talk to him and just kind of like not brace him, but ask his advice on what he thinks you should do.
I would talk to him. I would let him know, just so that he's not surprised in case your unhinged ex decides to show up.
Yep.
That would be worse.
Don't keep it from him. Make him feel like a man.
Yep. It's the Burt Show. Hey, the Burt Show.
You guys, I'm stuck with a friend and I'm hoping you can unstuck me.
Unstuck you.
Okay. Can you unstuck me, please?
Do my best.
Because I'm trying to look at this without blinders on and see our point of view, her point of view, and get a better understanding of the difference between a friendship with boundaries, or is it a friendship with conditions? Because you want to respect your friend's boundaries, right? But at a certain point, it starts to feel like your friendship has conditions. And that's the struggle right now with a friend.
Okay, we're going to be here a while.
So, yeah, and this is a person that's kind of like they need space, and you want to give people in your life space to deal with whatever they're dealing with. But after a certain period of time, and especially if this is like a friend you value, after a certain period of time, it's like, okay, girl, how much more space do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we are right now. So if a friend comes to you and they're like, you know, if a friend comes to you and they're like, for my own mental health, for my own well-being, I have to establish some boundaries and I have to take a step back. You can say that you don't take that personal, but that's a hard pill to swallow when your friend's telling you, apparently I'm affecting your mental health in a negative way, but okay. And you want to respect that, but it's mainly because your life is so complicated, dramatic, and full of trauma that they can no longer handle your amount of trauma because it's affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about here. Like, to the point where they said, I'm going to have to see therapy because of what's going on in your life.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you want to respect that, but I...
So it's not personally... It's not that the drama is between you and she or whomever. It is what you're going through is triggering something she went through before, and she can't be around it, so she's putting space until you get your stuff together.
Close. She hasn't experienced any of this. Like, she has... It's not like it's like... it's not that it's triggering for her in that manner. It's just too much. It's too much negativity. It's too much sadness. Mm. It's all too much. And she needs to take a step back. But from what I can gather, she's taken a step back for years now. And one of my favorite Marilyn Monroe quotes is, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
All right. So I'm trying to put a couple of things together here, mm-hmm. and then Mo, it's all yours, dude. So if it's been years.
Yes.
Is she affected by whoever this person, are we talking about you? The person that
no.
is having the, okay.
No.
Whoever has the stress going on in their life has had it going on for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, and maybe we can dive a little deeper into it, but when you say boundaries versus conditions, right? Like, mm-hmm. I have a friend who I've known for over 20 years, and for 6 months in time, he just disappears. That's just what he does. And I don't take it personally because he does it to everybody. It's just his thing. And in the beginning, I used to feel like, well, what's the point of being a friend if I can't be there for you when you're in those tough times? But I've come to learn it. That's just his thing. And it's his boundary because he's not asking for anything. So that's why it doesn't bother me, where I feel like when you say conditions, then that kind of feels more like you have to do something in order to be my friend. And I feel like that would be a problem.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to, like, it's so complicated to, like, explain without going into the details, but I don't want to air my, like, all of my friends' dirty laundry. That's not my place to do that. Those are their stories to tell. But I mean, what it feels like to me is, and I have friends who have, we all have our quirks, we all have our flaws. And I believe if it's a real true friend, you're going to meet them where they are. You're not going to expect them to be a different version of themselves. I know I have flaws. I am horrible when it comes to connecting on the phone, even responding to text messages or talking. And also my schedule is different from my friends. So they understand and they accept the fact that I'm not always there on the phone. And I'm not readily available on the phone because, one, I talk for a living. And after I'm done talking, I don't want to talk anymore. And two, when they're ready to talk at 8:30, you know, 9 o'clock at night, I got to wind down and I got to get to bed. So our schedules are different. And they don't hold that against me. Like, and I have apologized for that. And they know that's part of being my friend. Right. And my other friends have like their own little quirks and idiosyncrasies and flaws, if you want to dub it a flaw. And I respect those. So with this one particular friend, would this be considered a quirk, a flaw, and that this is just what we have to expect of her? Or has it gotten to a point where if she can't be there for us during our toughest times, is this her taking care of herself, or is she not really being a good friend?
So let me try to communicate a confusing thought that I'm having. It could go all over the place. In a strange way, I feel like if you're a good friend, you'll just let her have her space because she's saying the healthiest me, no matter what's going on with the rest of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's very difficult, like, not to take it personally.
Yes.
But whatever is going on with you guys, she feels like her safe space is not around y'all right now or this other friend right now.
Correct.
If you are a good friend and you really have her best interest at heart, I think you got to step away.
And see, that's what that one friend is taking that position that, you know, we love her. We're supposed to love her unconditionally. And this is what she, however, another friend is taking the opposite stance. And she's like, no, this is BS. Like, you know, you're supposed to be there for your friends and, you know, you have a wonderful life and you should be very grateful for that. And your friends are going through some real stuff and you should be there for them. And then you have me who is promptly sitting on the fence. My ass is killing me right now. And I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, I want to have a conversation with her, but I want to, I don't want to attack her. I want a better understanding of where she's coming from. And like, if she doesn't want to be our friend anymore, she doesn't want to be our friend anymore. And that's what it's feeling like from the outside.
I think when people have a hard time communicating how they're feeling about deeper issues, they sometimes attach it to what's easy for them to communicate. And I think there's actually probably something deeper going on that she's probably been sitting on for a while. I feel like this is coming from a place of maybe unspoken resentment that she's felt over the course of your relationship. And this is sort of the lightning rod that she's using to be able to express all those complicated emotions that maybe she doesn't have the language for. And so if I was in your position,
and she's not a good communicator,
that there we go. I was talking to my new therapist on Tuesday about what people become like in times of conflict. And she said that you become a bigger version of yourself. And so for me, I'm somebody who likes to communicate. I'm somebody who's very confrontational. So when conflict happens, I'm ready to go.
Will you call her?
No. But if your friend is the kind of person to bury her head in the sand or to bury her feelings under, when really big conflict comes up, it's only natural that she's going to do that in an even bigger way. And so I think with this, all these complicated feelings that she has, I just don't think she has the capacity to be able to express that. And I think if you really care about this friendship, in my opinion, I would take one, maybe two opportunities to ask her to lay it all out there. And then that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you can bring a horse to water, you can't make a drink, but at least you've done everything on your part.
Okay.
What'd you take away from that?
Did we unstuck you?
Oh, I'm still sitting there.
And that still hurts. We've done nothing.
Nothing at all.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.